The following is an introduction talk given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on January 6, 1991 in Melbourne, Australia.
Because when the devotees would try to leave at midnight, they would lie down in the road and cry and say, "Please don't leave. This is a chance in our lifetime. We want to hear you until sunrise." So we had to do is have two shifts of devotees. Some would preach until midnight, and the second shift would take over from midnight until 4 a.m. After one program, which was very well attended, I happened to go the next day on a japa walk, because we're doing a two-day program in that place. And I just talked to some local villagers, and they said, last night, doesn't matter what community, Hindu, Muslim, everyone, the whole village was empty. Nobody stayed in their house. They were all there. So they were very eager to hear the devotees from around the world explain how they had become devotees, what was the preaching going on in different parts of the world. So we do that program. So the devotees, it's a bit austere. They had to drive for a few hours every day, or 1 or 2 or 3 hours through these not so nice roads as Australia. Sometimes on dirt roads for the last half hour. Sometimes you have to walk an additional kilometer to get to the final destination. One day, we were held up because of a ferry. We got in the middle of a river, and the water went down, and the ferry got stuck in the sand. And so we just stayed there and chanted for a while, and then after about 2 hours, the water came up again, and we could get to the other side. So finally, by the people were waiting for us about 7 o'clock at night. We got there about 11 o'clock. Must have been a few hours in the river there. And but the road was too narrow for the vehicles to go. So we got rickshaws, bicycle rickshaws, or tricycles as they're known in some places. And loaded up with our sound systems and everything and went off in the dark. Finally, we reached about 2 kilometers later. Then with the rickshaws couldn't go any further, we had to walk in some narrow pathways, crossing over wooden bridges. And we thought, where are we going and where are they taking us? Nobody's going to be here. It's already midnight. The program was starting at 7. Then we finally go through this, like a jungle. You can't see anything. You just go, all of a sudden you get into a little clearing, you look out, and there's thousands of people all sitting there with a generator and lights going on, and they're just chanting Hare Krishna, waiting for 5 hours for the devotees to come. And when they came, then they all started, you know, doing, you know, the ladies, the Uludwani and the men, Hari Bol. They had just been waiting, hoping that it would be fulfilled. So then we did a program there, starting Gaur Aarti at midnight. Some devotees took a rain check after that. They didn't blame us. So this way it's definitely like a spiritual safari. Some days it's real smooth. You just drive right up to the front door, and some days anything can happen. They told us when we were stuck in the middle of the river, don't bathe in it because there's barracudas. Stick your hand in the water. It's very salty. It was right by the ocean. In fact, one place we went is right by the Sundarbans, and you could hear the tigers roaring in the distance. But they said, don't worry, they don't generally come on this side of the river. Just in the rainy season, a few crocodiles crawl over the river, on the road, but generally tigers come on. Well, there was no problem. The devotees stayed in the vehicles, and we didn't see any tigers. So. Then they arranged for a special tour. All the devotees went into River Queen launch, took them into the Sundarban jungle swamplands and to try to spot a tiger. I don't know if anyone spotted one, but it was interesting. So like this, we go and we do that preaching, and we came back, and it was time for the disciples had arranged for a Vyasa Puja celebration in Mayapur. And the Ekadasi after Ram Navami. After that was over, then everybody left. After a few days, then Mamhatta annual conference and festival began. And they started to come in. Usually 700-800 come, but this year over 900 came. Almost 1,000. And for 3 days we have seminars on how to expand book distribution, how to do preaching from the house, how to organize the Namhat, because we have about 2,000 Namhat units, each unit with an average of 50 members, so that comes to over 100,000 participants with an effect over millions of people, if you consider people that are exposed to that type of preaching. So it becomes practically impossible for the devotees to supervise 2,000 branches just on their own. So the we have to use the system Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave, that for every so many Namhattas, they form into a circle. And there's a circle commander or a circle Senapati. And then so many circles form into a maha, a greater circle or a district. Then from districts you have divisions and so on. So how to organize like that, it was decided we'll have district festivals also throughout the year. So this year they had about a half a dozen districts, there's about 16 districts in the Nama. I think they had at least 6 or 8 district festivals out of the 16 in the first year. There's one group which is, well, many groups which are lady groups, but of course the majority are mixed, few are youth. Some are older people. So different delegates came from each chakra. In the book distribution section of the seminars, one person had distributed 60,000 pieces of literature last year. So he said, the one thing I am feeling incomplete is I'm not getting any competition. So I'm challenging you. So I want some competition. So then a few others said, okay, this year we're going to get you, but he had only done 15,000 literatures last year, so I don't know the final score. Won't know until the festival how did they do in the competition. I don't know if everybody, is anyone here doesn't know what a Namhat is? Everybody knows what a Namhat is? See, Namhat is when we have, like we have ISKCON temples where we have the full-time devotees which are preaching, that's a big base. Namhat is where we have groups of devotees who may be working in their different occupations, but they gather together at least once in a week and they chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, have a regular spiritual program, reading from Prabhupada's books, doing a Tulsi or Gaura Arati, and they also organize different kinds of programs like prasad distribution, like festivals, like Harinam processions and competitions, gurukuls, rath yatras, and all kinds of things. So it takes at least 5 people minimum to register a Namhatta group. You have to meet at least minimum once a week. But usually the groups expand up to 100 members or 50 members. Some of the groups meet every day. If they meet every day, they're called kendras or centers, Namhatta centers. If they actually dedicate some land to the Namhatta and they establish a small temple, then it's called the Namhat temple. So we have also many Namhat temples, maybe a few dozen, maybe a couple hundred Namhat centers, and all the rest are Namhat sanghas or associations or groups, service groups. So Prabhupada said to organize village preaching, bring them all to Mayapur and have them trained up. So part of our annual program is to bring them to Mayapur. After that was over, then I believe I went on a tour. I think I went briefly to South India. This year what happened to do was I had to go to Hyderabad because of some resolution of the GBC. I went to Hyderabad from April 11th until May 7th, visiting Tirupati and Bangalore and Madras and briefly in the meantime. We have a 600-acre farm there, but the donor of the land is trying to illegally get it back from us. So I was assigned to go there and try to organize some kind of a defense for that property. Right now it's still in our position. Legally things are going on. Then after that I went to Mayapur for the Nrisingha Chaturdasi festival, because after what happened last year, when in September, the previous year, 89, when I was attacked, I wanted to worship Lord Nrisingadev for his causeless mercy in allowing me to remain to serve Srila Prabhupada in his body for some time longer. So there we had a beautiful Nrisingha Chaturdasi festival, bathing Nrisingadev with many different items. After that, I found out that the Hyderabad situation had become frozen and there was some emergency in my zone in the west. So then I flew almost immediately to North America, where we didn't have a president at that time. Our president resigned from New Orleans, so I straightened that out, found a new president. Then I went to a quick tour of South America, organized the things in Lima, Peru for having the opening in October. Different things. I have a zone in South America, which includes Chile, Bolivia, Peru, and Ecuador. I often visited Argentina and Colombia as well. This year the GBC gave me an assistant, GBC, Vira Babu Peru, who's been helping a lot, pretty overextended without any help there. So he's been very active. In Bolivia, they got from the land, they got land from the government through the colonization scheme. I guess it's something like that in Australia too, I don't know. They have very few residents, only 6,000 citizens of Bolivia, but it's 1,500 kilometers by 1,000 kilometers in dimension. So they have a lot of unsettled land. So Somaka Swami found a nice piece of land alongside a river, and he got 1,500 hectares from the government, 10 kilometers long by 1.5 kilometers wide, alongside the river. And it's like there's a plain, and then it goes gradually up into the hills. So he took just the flat area alongside the river, and nobody's going to settle up in the mountains, so anyway, but it's there. Kind of no man's land, just belongs to the government. So the problem was it's 20 kilometers from the nearest road, and the only way you could get to it was by walking. A bicycle can't even go. So somehow the devotees are really rugged, you know, they put their knapsack and walk 20 kilometers. But then he got a bulldozer donated or purchased or something, and he got all the local villagers to agree to help, and so he's constructed a road with all the local people's volunteer work at 20 kilometers. So now on television, the government has said that what the Hare Krishnas have done in that part of the country is just on the border of the cocaine producing area of Bolivia. It was one of the main cocaine producers of coca plant. And so the government wants to stop this production of drug. And so we are producing in our farm an alternative, you know, agriculture to grow vegetables and fruits and things. So we got all the villagers to help in building this road, and our whole project came on television. The villagers said that the government never got a road for us. Nobody got a road. It was the Hare Krishna. So they're our best friends. So then I hear it cut short. Then I went back to North America. We had a big festival in Lent at Pupanihati. We offered over 500 clay pots of yogurt, fruit, and chipped rice, as well as condensed milk and chipped rice, called chura. The annual festival, about 11 sannyasis and GBCs attended, including Hridayananda Maharaj and Agrani Maharaj, Guru Prasad Swami. Then after that festival, I returned back to India for the Rath Yatra in Calcutta. I think I stopped in Canada also before that. Then this year in Calcutta, the Rath Yatra was inaugurated by the biggest industrialist in India, Mr. D.K. Birla. Many years ago, I made him a life member, but almost 20 years ago. Doubt if he remembered me. Then as the Rath was starting, it started to pour torrential monsoon rain. It was just pouring buckets of rain. But still, everybody was there pulling the Rath, soaking wet for the nine or 10 kilometer route. We never had such a heavy rain. That year, the Rath cut in Jagannath Puri of Lord Balaram broke. The wheel broke. Well, just as we were 100 meters from the end of the route, Balaram's wheel also broke in our position. So the pundit said that when Balaram's wheel breaks, this is very heavy. Because Balaram's holding up the whole universe. So if his wheel breaks, means there's going to be heavy trouble within the next 12 months in the world. Anyone know about any trouble in the world today? Just a revolution. Then, but it was very nice. Although usually we get about 1 to 2 million people, because of heavy rain, there was only about 500,000. Small crowd. But they were very enthusiastic, and they were the real diehards, because in spite of the rain and everything, they were still there. So the next 7 days was a big Tandal program. Bhakti Churu, His Holiness Bhakti Churu Maharaj and other speakers. I think I spoke 3 days or 4 days during the week, and he spoke a few days. And like this, the Gurukul, that's a yagya. The Australian Gurukul students from Mayapur, they perform a big yagya. Every day at the Tandal program, they make about an 80-foot high temple out of bamboo and cloth. It's very beautiful for Lord Jagannath. He stays there for 7 days. There's 5 tabloids or floats, and that were in the beginning of the procession. This year they had moving dioramas on the floats. So those were put on display for the week. Everyone was coming. Every day thousands of people got prasadam. So many people get prasadam that they had to make 2 prasadam booths. I think they must have been feeding 20,000-30,000 people a day, if not more. On the peak days, 100,000 people were coming every day. The slow days was 25,000. Even though it was still the Mundial was going on at that time, the Italian football soccer tournament, still people came to the program. Didn't dampen their enthusiasm. Sometimes these sporting events are competition for spiritual interest, but it didn't dampen anyone's enthusiasm. They just stayed for the lecture, and then they ran off to see the TV to see who was winning. And those that were interested in that. So they didn't miss the program. So then on the return route, there was real sunny weather, so almost about 800,000 people were there for the return route. Usually the return route is a little sparser than the going, usually 500,000. But this time about 800,000 came because they couldn't all come for the going route because of the rain. And all the routes reached safely. Then we had meetings in Mayapur about the architect came over. We discussed how to build the master plan for the city we've been having. And also Matsyava Chaturu from Italy came for finishing the samadhi. About 15 days of non-stop architectural and engineering meetings were held. Then what happened after that rainy season in July? Oh, then I think I went to Malaysia. Because in August we had 2 Rath Yatras, I think, in Malaysia. In August, I think we had Rath Yatra in Ipoh and Telok Intan. They had made their first Rath Yatra card in Ipoh. They finally constructed beautiful little rath. Since then, now they drive it all over the country, and if you can change the wheels and put on rubber wheels. So the devotees there worked hard for about a year and a half making this rath cart. $15,000 expense, donation from the Indian and Chinese communities. Very nice program for 10 days going all over Malaysia, Singapore, and Jakarta. Then we came back to India. I think I did a tour of South India, back in Mayapur for some more time. Then around September, it was time to go again to the west. That time I flew to Zurich for 2 days, then Stockholm for a couple of days, Copenhagen for 6 hours, gave a class, then Poland for 3-4 days. Poland, the preaching is really spreading like anything. Then from Poland again to Rome, where I went with Matsya Avatar Prabhu and saw some of the monuments on which we are kind of thinking about in terms of making our Mayapur temple, having a big kirtan hall. We want to do it with a dome. In Italy they have these beautiful domes like the Pantheon, St. Peter's, in Florence, the Basilica. And so we went to see these different. Then I went to Villa Vrindavan, where they had a Rath Yatra in Florence for the first time. There was a very small downtown, so they went 3 times around the same route. And the third time it started raining on me. But it was very ecstatic. And let's see, after that, stopping one day in London, I went again to America, to my zone. Then next, after America, I went to South America again. This time I spent more time, more leisurely, going to Chile, Ecuador, everywhere. Then finally, I ended up in Lima, Peru, where they've been constructing for the past 3 years a Vedic architectural temple. This is a temple which about, how high, maybe 80 or 100 feet, I don't know, it's quite, I mean, it's really, really high up there. It's got 3 beautiful domes, because it gets cold there in the winter, so they put a nice a wooden floor with a small pieces of, what would you call it, design, huh? Architecture, I guess. And but the marble altars and all beautiful carved Indian architecture with Jai Vijay in the front gate. So Prem Vikash from Mayapur Gurukul was there, and somehow the two of us organized a 3-day Mahayagya. And there was a continental meeting there. All the leaders in whole Latin America came. And Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Madan Bihari, Radha Madan Bihari, and Gaur Nitai deities were installed, all marble deities, and a very nice ceremonies. Then the ambassador of India to Peru and the mayor of the city came and officially opened the temple. They all gave lectures appreciating Srila Prabhupada and how the devotees were causing it. International exchange and serving the people and so on. A very positive effect from that. Then that came very close to Prabhupada's disappearance. So then I flew up to Atlanta, observed Prabhupada's disappearance. I was going to go fly immediately to Vrindavan to attend the Indian Continental meeting. And I got on the flight from Atlanta to New York, and as the flight was taxiing, one of the engines stopped. The pilot said, in 45 years of flying, this never happened to me. The engine just died. So I'm going to call the mechanics. I think it's not good to try to take off with only one engine. He called the mechanics. They played around for half an hour, waiting and waiting. Then finally said, okay, we're going to go now. He starts to starts up the engines again. Then the other side of the engine exploded. Flames and smoke were coming out. Fire engines came. He said, he had no more speech to say. He said, I think that we cannot proceed anymore with the jet. So we got towed back to the gate. By that time, my international connection had already taken off from New York. So then I had to make a new booking. I was going to miss half the meeting in India. The next day, I got to, in time, caught my flight took off, Then, as it was approaching New York, it said that suddenly a big storm has hit New York. We cannot land. And we were circling and circling for 4 hours. Yeah. Then it said we ran out of fuel. We had to make an emergency landing in Philadelphia. So then we landed and we stayed for a total of 11 and a half hours in that plane. Finally reached New York at 1:30 in the morning. All the connections had already left. I called out India and they said there's basically riots going on in Delhi because that time the Ram Janmabhoomi problem was there. And they said it's better not to come anyway, you missed all the meetings. So you might as well stay for the North American meeting. So then I stayed another week and then the North American attended a meeting in Houston where they had a nice meeting about fundraising and preaching back to Godhead. Then I raced back to India in November 5th, and in Mayapur we had a meeting on, again, master plan. All the GBCs were there. They've also made some action plan for, they want architects from anywhere in the world to present design concepts for the big temple based on the parameters the GBC has decided last year. So some different devotees, I think it's a New Zealand or Australian devotee, when Parasevana is there, Australian. He's had some nice concepts. The architect we've hired has done a few. Other devotees are welcome to present. We want to present to the GBC as many alternatives we can and let them decide which direction we should go. So once we have a concept that everybody approves of, then we have to proceed with that and do the final design, because we're getting land for Mayapur, for the big city. Prabhupada wanted a spiritual city and the biggest temple in the world, Vedic Planetarium, so we're trying to fulfill all those things. So after that was completed, stayed in Mayapur almost a little less than a month, then it was time to go to Silchar, where another temple had was started 2 years before had also been constructed. That was a big single dome temple, two stories, with a guest house, a three-story guest house next door. There's a nice temple room, marble floor, nice decorated dome with Krishna and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. 14 Gurukul students came from Mayapur, including the Australian and New Zealand students. Did a big yagya for 3 days, purifying the whole city. 24 kirtan was going on. Different, about 50 devotees came from all over the world, including 14 or 12 rather from Russia. And the people were just overwhelmed. And every evening there was a big preaching program. All day there was a yagyas going on for installing the deities of Radha Damodar and Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. So the final day, 50,000 people took prasadam, which was the biggest festival in that city of Silchar. I don't know. Silchar is a place you've probably never even heard of. I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be surprised if you have heard of it. Silchar is a secondary city, maybe only 500,000 people. That's on the other side of India. Other side of India, I mean to say that here's Bangladesh and here's Bengal and Assam curls over. So the other side of Bangladesh is part of Assam. And there, that used to be part of Bengal before the partition of India, when they got independence from England. And that was part of Bengal where Lord Chaitanya's parents were born, called Silek. So for us it's so special because Lord Chaitanya visited there and Sachi Mata and Jagannath Misra were born there. But that district had been divided in half, and half stayed in Bangladesh and half went to India. So we're building a temple in the India half. And so the local life members and devotees raised 40 lakhs of rupees, or 4 million rupees in 2 years, and built the temple without any international assistance, just by their own enthusiasm. It was very nice. Everyone was very impressed. The villagers were overwhelmed. They never saw such a big festival. Then I went to, somewhere in the middle of the year, I went to Kathmandu also, but I forget what it is. Also, I went to Thailand. Then I went again to Hyderabad, Bangalore, Coimbatore, Guruvayur, Madras. In Guruvayur, we have land. That's a pretty big temple. In India, Tirubhakti, and then Guruvayur, the two famous temples in South India. So we have three elephant processions every day. So we have about an acre of land near the temple where we're going to build a special pilgrim center for preaching and facilitating the pilgrims, the millions of pilgrims come there every month. So in Tirupati we're building a guest house. So after that, again I went back to Malaysia in 10 days. We had three Rath Yatras, one in Kuala Lumpur, the capital, one in Penang, and one in Puli. We also had other programs, and for one day we're preaching in Singapore, one day again in Jakarta, and in Malaysia. Goodwill visit. Then came back via Bangkok to, also in the middle of the year I went to Bangladesh. In Bangladesh we had a temple donated to us this year, 200 years old. But in the month of November, when there were riots in Bangladesh, our temple was vandalized and looted. But the deities were not harmed. So but in the month of July, August, I went to Bangladesh also. Then coming back in December, back to India to my airport, and from there I went to the Middle East, to Muscat and Bahrain. Then via London came back to North America for Krishna's marathon celebration in Atlanta, New Orleans, my Southeast USA zone. My sister is very ill, so twice I went to California to see her, but she was in a kind of a comatic state. They paralyzed her with medicine. They said she could hear me, maybe, but she couldn't speak. So it's my previous ashram sister from, my god sister, but from the previous ashram before I was in Memphis. So I chanted Hare Krishna, put some charanamrita on her head, touched a garland to her head and everything. She used to visit the temple and take prasadam, but she never became a devotee. I wondered, but tried to preach to her on some occasion. She was favorable, but not, couldn't just fully change her lifestyle. She had just had a minor operation, but it complicated, and she got double pneumonia. Now she's in the hospital, very sick. My mother sent me a fax that the doctor says she may have only 12 hours to live. But it was about 4 hours ago I got the fax. So she asked me to pray for her soul. And this world is danger in every step. I was praying this morning for release for her. She's 3 years younger than I am. Then I flew, just saw her just 3 days ago. She was staying in state intensive care unit. Flew, gave class in Los Angeles, and then flew to Hawaii. Reached there at 7 at night, gave a class in the evening, crushed a midnight flight, and flew straight to Sydney. Spent a day yesterday in Sydney, gave a class in the evening at Northern City, and this morning class at the Darlinghurst Street. Here I am. You can see that during the year, a lot of things happen. I couldn't remember everything, I just could give you the highlights. But everywhere I've gone, I've seen that the devotees are very sincerely trying to push on the Krishna consciousness movement. They're very dedicated to spreading Prabhupada's message. This way gradually effect is imperceptibly or perceptibly the effect is spreading in society at large. We meet favorable people in the airplanes, we meet favorable people everywhere who are interested to know what is the purpose of life. Also, we're very fortunate this year we got a land where Lord Balaram had visited Mahavadip Dham 5,000 years ago. We were able to purchase that piece of land. We're going to build a small memorial there for Lord Balaram. So when the devotees visit Mayapur, they can see where Lord Balaram had personally had some pastime in Mayapur. So this is part of our Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust program where we're trying to preserve all the holy dhams in the holy dhams. There's many hidden and dilapidated temples that are almost forgotten or lost. Not forgotten, but you know, out of sight, so we're trying to relocate those and preserve them for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. And
kind of cost 12.
Any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? My original plan was to come and spend 3 days, but then I got a couple of days somewhere else. But I think that they want me to go to Adelaide, and they wanted me to stop in Sydney first. I think the plan is for me to spend 2 days here, though, instead of three, and then add Adelaide onto the itinerary and then go for a half day each in unless there's some way of rebooting the ticket. Because I have a Rath Yatra on the 12th of January in Madras, so I have to reach Singapore by the 11th in order to connect Singapore or Malaysia by the 11th to connect to go to Madras to go for the Rath Yatra. So I have to leave here on the 10th. My present ticket is in Cathay Pacific, going to Hong Kong, and then the next morning connecting on to Singapore, and then night flying to Madras. Nobody's given me a written itinerary. I told them to come today, that they want to reduce the time I'm here. I can give several classes, I don't mind. Well, he was visiting all the holy places during the Kurukshetra battle. At that time there was a demon called Raktabahu who was torturing and harassing the brahmanas. His name was Mayasura. Who was Raktabahu's another demon. But Mayasura, he was harassing the brahmanas also. Raktabahu was an orisa. So the brahmanas requested Balaram, who was playing the part of a kshatriya, to please save them from the Mayasura demon. So then he went approached the Mayasura demon to get him to stop harassing the brahmanas, but the Mayasura demon attacked with Balaram. So there was a big battle which went on for a long time. And their fighting had made a big depression inside the earth. It became like a big lake, almost like hollowed out from fighting and fighting. Then finally Balaram kept snatching the Mayasura demon and like a giant or something, and he kept producing something. His bleeding filled up that depression there like a lake. And finally he was liberated there, and his Atma left the demon body and liberated to Lord Balaram Satchidananda, transcendental form. So that place is still known by the ancient people as Mayamara Mat. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that there's a field called Mayamara Mat, the field where Mayasura was killed, and that's the place where Balaram went. So we could only find a few people that knew where it was. Then we purchased some land there to build this shrine. Any questions?
Is that near the Jagannath temples?
Yeah, it's near the Jagannath
temples. Across the Jalangi?
Same side of the Jalangi.
Same side. Has there been any other trouble from the Muslim rites?
We haven't had any trouble in Mayapur, only in Bangladesh. Mayapur's been very peaceful. All Bengals have been peaceful. Also South India's been peaceful. Only the Northern India, UP, and of course South India, Hyderabad's been peaceful. But the other parts are peaceful.
Delhi's okay?
They're generally okay, but if there's trouble that happens in Delhi, Agra, Lucknow, all these places. No, we have a Namhat. There's some devotees there. The temple near Guntur. Any questions?
So, Taipad, I understand you've been working with the Bhaktivinoda Charity Trust for many years. So, can you tell us some stories about some of the hidden holy places that have been found, that you personally found, or that you've had, you've worked with developing?
One of the places we located, which was very difficult, because 500 years ago was by the side of the Ganges, but the Ganges had shifted about 5 kilometers in 500 years. That was the birthplace of the wife, the consorts of Nityananda Prabhu, Vasudha and Janava Devis, the ashram of Gauridas Pand and Suryadas Sarakira. So we found that temple. There's a ruins there. The temple is gone. So when you see these places, then the whole pastime of how need to know, you have to go through the pastime many times and trace out. So there it says that Krishnahora, the king of the time, he arranged the marriage between Suryakanta Sarakela's daughters and Nityananda. At first, Suryakanta Sarakela was against it. He didn't have a good impression of Nityananda. He thought Nityananda was out of dude. He wasn't having any fixed residence. He's moving here and there, always preaching and sometimes acting ecstatic. See, he thought this is kind of an unusual person. How can he marry my daughter? But Krishnahora got very angry with him. He said, you don't know who Nityananda Prabhu is. You're being very foolish. And he walked off and said, you know, I won't come back again. I'm offended. What are you saying about Lord Nityananda? That night he had a dream, and in the dream he saw Balaram with his two consorts, Revati and Baruni. And then he saw Balaram turn into Nityananda and Revati and Baruni turn into Vasudha and Janava Devi. Janava and Vasudha. Then he woke up startled and he realized that Nityananda was Balaram and his daughters were divine Lakshmis, and he sent a message to Krishna Horadas and requested that the marriage could be consummated. He approved.